Okay. Today we're talking about kashrus medicine. It's close to Pesach, so I'll mention some things that have to do with Pesach. But really, what I'm going to talk about is for all year round. I mean, the rules are the same. There's
some kind of mitzvah shoshim yin,
by talking about that, yes. It has a little bit to do with Pesach will be a little different. So where it is, I'll mention that. But the rules are the same. Okay. So what we're going to do is like this. Really, when a person makes a, this was like a, with Pesach, when a person thinks about whether they take a medicine, we're going to see in the long run that there are four questions. The first that you have to ask. Okay? We're not going to answer those questions now. There are four questions you have to ask. That's what the Pesach part is. Four questions that you have to ask to decide if a person is taking medicine. Okay, the first is it possible that something in there that's not kosher? Okay. Second is, could you use something else instead? I'm taking this thing, but is there a substitute for this one? Number three, is the thing that I'm holding in front of me, is it edible, or how edible is it? And the last question is, how sick am I, the person who's taking this thing?
I assume about the cigarette, but if question one is negative, then...
I didn't say you always need to ask all four questions. These are four questions that have to be thought about.
Yeah, but then all the time, only if one is positive?
No, of course, if everything is kosher, then we don't have to think about the other one. But there's four parts...
I'm going to speak about it.
I'm going to speak about it, yes. So there's four potential questions. Okay, now even... That's the truth of what goes on in practice, when you ask a question and you say to me, I want to take the following medicine, can I use it? All of this really goes through your mind. I'm just putting it into an organization. You'll see how it can look later. Hope I won't scare you later. But how it's going to look later, but it's going to... It's just that really what goes through your mind is that you think about this thing, well, the person who's taking that, why is he taking it? And what's in it? And all these questions go through your head. Okay, but first we have to spend some time on some of the principles, okay? Some of the principles that these decisions are going to be made based on, okay? Which you could agree or not agree. No, really. You see the questions that you have to think about, okay? And if you want, I'm going to do it shorter than it really is. They're all written up if you're curious, in two Sapir articles if you're curious. Okay. And the first is, okay, the first thing we have to question is like this. Liquids and chewables. Okay, there's a big disagreement between contemporary poskim about what makes something what is considered edible and what's not considered edible. Okay, there's two ways of looking at what's considered royal achila or not royal achila. Okay, there are those who say that royal achila means is that it's palatable. Okay, if you take it, you can swallow it. Okay, if I eat a piece of dirt, if I eat something that I can't get it down. I try to eat a raw potato. I mean, you barely can get the thing down your mouth. But and anything that's palatable, that's considered royal achila. Okay? And others say that no, royal achila means is that it's something that you would, by choice, you would eat this thing. Meaning, if I put out on the table, I put out Pepsi, Sprite, bourbon, and cough medicine, which one of those things would you eat? Okay, now you don't have to answer that, but which one of those would you choose to eat? Okay, so if you think that the rule of what makes something edible is so that you would, that by choice, normal people would sit around the table and drink this thing, then a lot of liquids and chewables would not qualify as edible. Okay, but if you think the criteria is just that it has to be palatable, then of course it's palatable. People take it all the time. I mean, every person who's sick drinks this medicine. That they consider it palatable. It's not.
Healthy people. So a healthy person.
Well, so that's a question as to whether the criteria should be yes, whether a regular average person would choose it. Okay, so
I had a bubble gum.
So not
the soda,
so there's differences of opinion, and l'chayr there's a beferish din that talks about this. Actually, it's in Hilchos Pesach, and the Mechaber says, "Davish and Asar bechametz, ve'ein amaychal adam klal." Okay, you have something mixed in, has chametz mixed into it, and it's mamash, you can't eat it. Oy, she'ein amaychal kol adam, or it's not all people can't eat it. Going feriak uchiyotzeboy, and then he says that's considered not royal achila. Okay, so Mishmur says, what does it mean? Ena Michael kol adam. What does that mean? First, he said it's not edible. It's not ena roy lachila. Ena Michael adam klal. Okay, good. Now, what's ena Michael kol adam? So Mishabur says that what that means is it's a thing that only a sick person would eat. But a healthy person wouldn't choose to eat that food. And that food is being described to us as being, that's not royal achila. That qualifies as not royal achila.
Who are you
calling
that?
Tough man bays. Tough man bays halacha dalet.
It's
Hilchos Pesach. It's coming from a Ram. That's considered not royal achila. Now over there, you'll get confused by a side part that's going on over there. But he says that it's not royal achila. That implies that these things, these liquids and chewables, should not be considered royal achila. Because again, most people would not choose to eat these things. The counter argument to that is that it's very subjective. And if you like amoxicillin, then I think it's maybe not so good. So you know, a lot of the things that we eat that we consider to be medicinal, that we say, come on, medicines are not, people don't eat them, maybe not so clear. You have to, yesh. So we take the assumption that the liquids and the chewables are considered royal achila. I'm mentioning it because there's basis to thinking that they would not be royal, that they're considered not royal achila. If they're not royal achila, then obviously things are going to be much more kal. I mean, we'll talk about what it means to be not royal achila. But if it would be not royal achila, you're on a lot safer ground.
We meaning the president?
Seriously, take that position. Yeah, Rabbi Schwartz. That's the position that we take. And most people who get shyless to about medicines, I shouldn't say most people. If someone says to you, you can't take the following medicine, this liquid medicine, because it has a trace ingredient in it, it's sort of built into that that they're saying a liquid is considered royal achilles. Usually, not always, because we'll see some things that are, you can't take them even if they're not, sort of. But essentially, they're telling you we consider it to be royal achilles. Which is, again, it's, by no means is that obvious that that's considered that it's royal achilles. Okay. We're going to work
with
you. I'll tell you afterwards. Okay. Next. So that's the first issue. The second is now we're going to be on more stable ground after this part, you know? And that is there, at least in my mind, there's three levels of what is considered edible and not edible. Okay. Three levels, not even within liquids and chewables, three halachic groupings of what's in edible. Okay, the first is something that's royal achila. Okay,
we're talking about the medicine or the component of the medicine.
I'll say both. I'm not sure if it makes a difference. I'm saying if I have an edible thing and I mix it with something horrible, either way, both. Okay, so Rabbi Schwartz is.
Both then. If the medicine itself is not royal achila. But now it became royal
achila. What do you mean? Medicine is not royal achila.
But you mixed it into with flavors, and
then
now it is considered royal achila.
That's not true.
Oh,
no, that's not true.
So what do you mean both?
The final part. Okay, we'll say the final part has to be royal achila. Okay. So Rabbi Schwartz is the way he described it was something that's royal achila is something that you derive enjoyment when you eat this thing. Okay, the way he worded it. And for that, we'll say is things that are edible. We're using as our example in this case is liquids and powders and liquids and like the chewable things and things that you drink up and like that. Okay, the next level, the opposite of that is something that's not royal achila. So I told you before, then it's not royal achila. Okay, we put into that group like pills and tablets. Okay, that we consider to be not royal achila. But there's a middle group. Okay, there's a middle group in between royal achila and not royal achila. And that is foods that you eat shalom kiderach achila, which is to say, it's a perfectly edible item. Okay, the Gemara's example of it is of a person who drinks vinegar. Okay, vinegar is, of course, perfectly edible. It's a food item. But the Gemara says if you eat vinegar straight, if you drink a cup of vinegar, you ate shalom kiderach achila, which means it's only asam midrabanan. Let's say you're eating on Yom Kippur, that's the Gemara's example, you're eating on Yom Kippur, it's only asam midrabanan because you're not eating the way normal people eat. It inherently is edible, but you ate a shalom kiderach achila, so you didn't do the isser of eating in the same level of a person who eats something that's regular edible. Okay? So, it's only asam midrabanan, and it has nafkamina, that's a Pesach nafkamina, which is to say like this. We will see soon that certain cholim can eat foods as shloki derech achila, if they eat as shloki derech achila. It's only us and Rabbanan, and certain cholim are allowed to eat that food. That only applies to whether they want to eat the food, let's say if it's treif. That would apply if they want to eat the food if it's chametz stick also. But on Pesach there's a different concern, which is bal yirah. On Pesach you're not allowed to own chametz. The fact that eating it would be shloki kederach achila doesn't affect whether you're being erev bal yirah. If the thing is an edible item, you're erev bal yirah. The fact that when I eat it, I will eat it shloki kederach achila doesn't affect whether I'm, that doesn't save me from being erev bal yirah. For example, if I were to take a piece of bread right out of the oven, burning hot, and I would eat it like that, then it would be considered shlokei derechachila. I ate it not in a normal way to eat it burning hot like that. But of course, if you ever buy it wrong, it doesn't make a difference. The fact that the way you would eat it right now, it would be considered shlokei derechachila. That doesn't take away from the fact that you own edible chametz. It is edible chametz. You own edible chametz. You don't buy your own because you own chametz, which is edible. Right, the achila of a chametz, you would have said, oh, no, it's only the drabbanan, because it's like the achila. But the derisa, do you own edible chametz? Yes, it's edible chametz. The act of eating, you didn't do the act of eating in the way the Torah would have asked it. But the act of owning just means owning the chametz. You don't have to eat the chametz. It could be locked in a batrusa, so then you own it. And you go. Okay, so for Baal Yirah, you don't get saved by having something that the form it's in the Shlokei Derechachila, because it's edible. Shlokei Derechachila is closer to edible than to inedible.
Is that a question? Am I missing something? Baal Yirah is for owning, not for eating. So when Mabakach, then it's eaten in a strange manner.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm making the point is like this. When we say something is Shlokei Derechachila, and for year round, a certain Chol might be able to take it, that Heter is not going to help him on Pesach. Because on Pesach, it'll help him for the taking of the chametz, like it talks about. When you have a chol, yes, it talks about for a katan, you have a guy who owns it, feed the kid the medicine under certain situations. But by and large, if you want to keep it in your house, you can say, I'm going to eat it, like the chachil, it's not going to save you, because you have a different thing to get through, which is by your. Okay. Okay, now within this rule of things that are inedible, there's no isser to eat them, because there's no isurim on it, they're not considered food. There is a din called akshavei, which actually in that din that I told you before in Rav Theriak about the not edible chametz, it's talking about the din of akshavei. There's a din that if a person has something that's not royal achil and he eats it, then midrabanan it's considered that it is royal achil. The fact that I chose to eat it means that I consider it to be food, and midrabanan that's considered royal achil. We don't apply that for medicines, we do apply that to vitamins. Okay, so that is to say, if I swallow a pill, we'd say that's not royal achila. The fact that it's inedible and it's not royal achila. Excuse me. The fact that I ate it, we don't say achshavei. But if I were to swallow a vitamin, there's disagreements about this. But we take the position that if I swallow a vitamin, there is achshavei on that. Okay, and that's because we consider vitamins to be food replacements. So when I swallow a vitamin C, I'm showing that I consider it to be a food item. As I said, I'm eating two oranges.
Is there a chalkim on both of those points?
On which points?
That there's no achshavei by...
There are chalkim that say that on vitamins, there is no achshavei either.
And
on medicines, it's pretty accepted that there's no...
Yeah.
There's two different, if you want, I'll tell you. There's two potential reasons why there should be no achshavei on medicine. Two different reasons. One is Ramosha's reason. He says this. Achshavei means is the fact that I ate the thing shows that I consider it edible. If I take a piece of cardboard and I eat it, shows that even though for normal people this is not edible, for me I consider it edible. He says when I take medicine, it doesn't show that I consider it to be edible. It shows that I want to get healthy. I'm not taking it. It's not a raya that I consider to be a food. It's not even a drop on the raya, because why am I? I'm taking it because I want to be healthy. People do crazy things. They poke themselves. They do all kinds of crazy things when they want to get healthy. So it's not a raya that they're considering it to be food. Okay, that's what Rish says. And Chazanish says that the reason why there's no actually a medicine is because when a person takes a medicine, they want the active ingredient. The inactive ingredient is unimportant, and they're sort of stuck having to take that. So there's. So Chazanish says, maybe you could imagine there's actually on the active ingredient, but on the inactive ingredient there isn't. And he's assuming that there's usually the shilas are on the inactive ingredients. Okay, we actually talked about once before in an unusual situation where the shilas on the active ingredient. Okay, I'm not going to tell you what that was. A very funny situation. Premarin, well, we talked about some. The other situations where the active ingredient might be the shilas, the other Chazanish might not have said it.
So both Chazanish and Marshall consider it's okay.
That there's no actually medicines. Yes, correct. And there may be chokmah. I think it's pretty...
Even on nutritional supplements.
On nutritional supplements? No, on vitamins. No, on vitamins, that's a different question. They say, there are people who say, basically you're eating an orange. You take some iron, you could have just eaten a piece of steak, so instead you're taking the iron, so it's as if you're taking your food. That, there are definitely chokmah. Okay. The din of achshavei doesn't have to do with ba'yiro, just to mention ba'yiro again. Okay, it doesn't have to, achshavei is only for the actual eating of it. It doesn't affect the yisurim of owning chametz, or even having chametz from chametz. Okay. Next. How the severity of illness, how sick someone could be. Okay, I'm going to break that again into three groups. These you'll be familiar with, more traditional. One is a person who's in a sakana or a suffix sakana. That person could do basically anything, with one exception, is if there's an alternative that doesn't involve doing an iser, then you can't do it. Okay, sakana allows you to do something when I can't do it better, but if I can do it better, then of course that's what I'm supposed to do. And there's a shaila in earlier poskim about what about if a person in a sakana, could he do things that don't help his danger? Okay, it's for his general comfort. Is he maybe allowed to do everything when he's besakana? Anything remotely related to his illness. Even if it's not going to help him get better. It's not going to make him healthy again, but it's going to give him comfort. That's his own child. You can read in the notes about that. Okay. And what do we consider for sakana? So sakana, of course, means things like people with heart conditions. I don't mean things like that. I don't mean just people who are, you know, in the hospital like that. But most infections... And many illnesses that for which you get a prescription, not all, but many, fall into that category. I know there was a time when we spoke to three different pediatricians and said to them, tell me why you prescribe antibiotics to children. Okay, tell me all the reasons why you prescribe. And we had this long list of all the reasons you prescribe. And then we said to them, okay, pediatrician, tell me.
Reasons mean illnesses.
Yeah, what would be? What would you do?
Medical reasons.
Tell me all the thing, a kid comes in and he has the following illness, you give him this medicine. Well, tell me all the things you prescribe antibiotics. Okay, again, we have a long list. Said, okay, now, what would happen if you don't treat the child? What would happen if you wouldn't treat them? What would be the worst case scenario if you wouldn't treat the child? Okay, so, not every case, but almost every case, the worst case scenario was Suffolk sarcoma. Okay, now, not every case, there's something, you know, some people have things that they take antibiotics for that are not, there's no way in the world that it could lead to something that's a sakana, but just about every one of them did, just that every single thing, the end result was, well, if we don't treat this, it could turn to this, and it could be a suffering sakana. Okay, so we take the assumption that for most things that are infections, most things that you're getting antibiotics for are considered suffering sakana. Okay, the next group down is, my slides are going to get more exciting later. Now it's pretty boring, but they're going to get more excited. Okay. I do feel bad. I mean, this is like, who wants to just look at a bunch of words on here? Okay. My next is... The next is a person who, what we call a cholish imbasakana, a cholish kogufay, what we call in English, he's incapacitated. Okay, it's a person who, he's not a sakana. There's no, by any stretch of the imagination, can this lead to sakana. But he's just not functional. Okay, he can't sleep, or he can't not sleep, or he can't get up and around. He's not functional the way a normal person would be functioning. That person can do many drabbanans. He can be over many drabbanans, including he can eat food. It's important to us. He can eat food that's shalaka der chachila. That's one. He's specifically allowed to do that. And that category includes things like migraine headaches. Okay, no one dies from a migraine headache, but they're completely, you know, not functional. And the din is kids who have any illness are considered to be that, because they just completely lose themselves. They're just totally not functional. When they're not, even if for what me and you might be just discomfort, for them it's totally makes them oismench, and they're considered cholish imbasakanos. Okay? And that's important to us because it tends to be that the kids are the ones who need to take the medicines that are gonna be mutter for cholish imbasakan. Okay, just because adults tend to take pills. Okay, so we'll come to what it means in Lamaisa. And the last is a michush, a person who has something that's not even a cholish imbasakana, just a regular kind of a cold or a headache. He just doesn't feel well, but he's not functional. He's just not himself. Okay, for that person, basically can't do any yisur. Okay, we'll see for ourselves. We're gonna fit him in someplace, but okay. Okay, now these are the bigger things that there are, and then some smaller issues, and they are flavors. Okay, one of the things that's going to creep up in just about everything that's remotely edible is that they're going to have a flavor in it. Okay, so of course, year round, I don't even know, for regular food, we tell people that if something has a flavor in it, it needs hashgacha. Okay, because flavor could have who knows what could be going on in a flavor. There's a zillion different ingredients. It could be trace, and it could be milk, and it could be who knows what could be in there. And you can't use it. Okay, but for medicines, essentially, not completely, but very close to, we ignore a flavor that's in medicine. Okay? I don't, we don't see that. We don't completely ignore it. You'll see where we categorize it, where we stick it. But we come close to ignoring flavors that are in medicine. What's the reason? The reason is like this. When a flavor is put into a food, it's kamat always, it's less than shishin. It's batel b'shishin. It's so little that it would theoretically be batel b'shishin. What's the answer? But it's not batel b'shishin because it's avidel taimun. It's not batel b'shishin because it's there to give flavor to it. Okay, so what we care about then is the flavor, the components that contribute flavor.
Shayfer is not avidel taimun. That's
great. So the components that don't give flavor, the carriers, the incidental parts of the flavor, those obviously are going to be batel. So I only care about the flavors. Not within the flavor, the flavor contributing components, we only care about the components that are inherently treif. If something is treif because it's made on kalim, something caprolic acid, inherently it's kosher, but it's made on treif kalim. It's made on kalim, so then that's treif. You don't want to eat it, but it's not a vidal taima. It's called the melech ablu medam. It's something that's a vidal taima, but it's only treif because it has bleeds from something else. That is batel b'shishin. Now, there are some things in a flavor that would not be batel because they're asur mitzrabanan. Some of the inherently treif. Okay, I forgot to tell you one thing. The way it works, the way the chemistry works, is that things that are inherently treif essentially are not used to be avidel taima. Okay, you don't make flavor components out of things that are like meat and fish. Okay, you tend to not make them out of them. You tend to make them out of vegetable items or petroleum items.
Grapes and wine.
So I'm coming to that. From meat and fish, just the chemistry of it works is that those, they have longer carbon chains, and they don't tend to give flavor, which is from shorter chain carbons. I'm sorry, I don't want to bother you, but that it happens to be in the truth. But that's not to say there aren't exceptions. There are some exceptions, like really fancy flavors, like civet and castoreum. Okay, those are like really fancy. Those don't go into medicines. Okay, those are fine. Those are not common to medicines. And then there are things that are some durabanan. Those are like the cheese items and grape items. Those things are more vegetable items. Those are, or milk. Those could be used in a flavor, but those are only asim darbanan. Okay, so we're going to place flavors. Flavor components are going to be with the group of things that are only asim darbanan. Okay, so that they tend to be. So in a medicine, they fall into a category. You'll see where we stick them into a category of things that are. I think you're going to see where we put them into a category of things that are roughly ordered asim darbanan. So what it is like this. This is a point of, I don't know, contention. This is a disagreement we have with the Starkate. Okay? And that is to say, it's like this. The Starkate agrees with us with everything I said till now. They agree with us that we come close to ignoring flavors when it comes to medicine. The difference is that they really ignore it. They say, because of all these reasons, when it comes to a medicinal item, we should ignore it. And we take the position that we only ignore it when there's no substitute. If this is a substitute, you could have the same thing. I'm going to show you examples later. You have the same thing in flavored or not flavored. So then, why take the flavored one? So there's potential. There are reasons to be nekel. What we say is, well, why be nekel? What's the reason? You have it right in front of you to take this.
It's not nekel of brewery. You're supposed to be machon and someone darbanan.
Well, you have it in front of you. Why shouldn't you?
That's not nekel of brewery.
No, not nekel of brewery.
You have an alternative to someone darbanan.
Yeah. That's a good question. I'm not sure what the answer to that question is, but it's not just that it's a sub darbanan. There's potential for derisal. You could go really wrong. It's potential. It's pretty safe. So you want to say, I want to go sub darbanan. That's not where they're coming from. You're saying, let's just say sub darbanan and just, okay. So there's what to say about that. I can't say that. What? We spoke it out with them. We talked to them. They said this. We've sat down with them and said to them, why do we essentially agree on most things. The rules are the rules, you know what I mean? But we basically agree on this is a disagreement. And we can change it. It's not like this is set in stone, but this is something we've taken. People, we get answers about this all the time. Okay. The next one is, someone said,
the equivalent of adding flavor to medicine?
No, that's a little, that's for you to add it in.
I told them to do it. They're doing it on my
own. Yeah, but the good news is that the flavors that they add in are Starkate certified. You should just know. The common flavors that people add in pharmacies called Flavor X, flavor, and the R is with an X at the end, like RX, like prescription.
You can say that across the board. And
No. When you go to the pharmacy, can you please add in strawberry? There's four or five of them that are made by this company, Flavor X, and they have a Starkate in them. So it's on our list. You could ask if it's the right thing. You have to answer that, of course, because maybe there's another guy who does it, but they're the company that makes flavors that the pharmacy pours into your medicine for you. It's on our medicines. Okay. The next thing is similar, is gel caps.
Colorings
have very few shines to them. I don't mean that there aren't colors that are trained, like you mentioned carmine beforehand. But colors that would go into a medicine tend to be very simple. Okay. Just like flavors that go into it, they don't put the most sophisticated things into medicine. It's just a medicine, you know. So we wouldn't worry about colors at all. Unless it's set on carmine. Actually, we've seen one that say carmine. What do you say?
The liquid medicines look like they glow in the dark. They're just very.
That's for sure not from food. That came from who knows where, you know, deep under the ground.
Okay.
So the next is gel caps. Now, gel caps. There's two kinds of gelatin caps. What we call the gel caps, those are the hard ones, and then there's soft gels. The soft ones look like little footballs, like little soft pillows. We call them. Okay. And they are made of the hard ones are essentially 100% pure gelatin. Okay. What they do is the way you think of it is think about taking a pencil and dunking it into liquid gelatin. And when you pull it out, the liquid, the gelatin just dries onto the end of the pencil, and then you slip it off. Okay, that's essentially what you do to make a gel cap. It's essentially pure gelatin. Okay, you just dunked it in, it comes into the shape, and then it dries into that shape, and now you have a gel cap, and you stick the two pieces together, and now you have you stick the medicine in, and you have a hard gel cap. And a soft gel is a little more sophisticated than that. It contains, it's gelatin with glycerin and a few other little ingredients. Okay, all food ingredients that are in there. It is created whole. Okay? It's created and you inject the medicine inside of it and then it seals up after itself. Okay? There's no opening in it. It's not like a hard one that you could pull it apart. It's just one whole chunk and it's really good for holding liquids. That's what it's good for.
So when the ingredients, like the glycerin and the soft gels, is that from the gel cap or the liquid inside?
Probably in the gel cap. Because the liquid on the inside, they don't need to put in anything else besides the active ingredient because you don't have to swallow it.
You don't just take the liquid in the bottle and just put it into a gel cap.
What did you say?
You don't just take the liquid in the bottle and put it into a soft gel.
Right. The liquid in the bottle has to have other things to help you get it down. This, they could just put it to what you need because nothing's not going to touch your throat. You don't have to, it doesn't have taste good or anything like that.
What the mechanics of it? It melts in your stomach?
It dissolves. Oh, yeah. It dissolves very quickly. Yeah, it dissolves.
The same thing.
What did you say?
The argon also.
Same thing, yes. Now, so what do we have here? So we have something here that's a food item. Now, nobody eats gelatin, but it's of course considered royal achila. It's royal achila because something that's used as a food ingredient is considered royal achila. I wasn't going to mention this, but I'll tell you this. Just because it's close to Pesach. It was getting late, but okay. I'll tell you later. Anyhow, it's considered royal achila. It's used as a food ingredient, so it's considered royal achila. So from that side, it's royal achila. Second is, the fact that you swallow something does not take away from the fact that you it's still considered that you ate it. Even though you didn't chew it, it's considered that you ate it anyhow. That's also from Hilchos Pesach. The din said, "Bol matzah yotza." If you swallow matzah, you didn't chew it, you just swallowed it. So even though you might think that that's not a typical way to eat it, it's not true. It's considered that you ate it. Because even though you swallowed it, getting it down your throat is what counts. Whether you chewed it or you didn't chew it doesn't make a difference. But at the same time, the gel cap, the reason why we treat the gel cap not as considered to be eating Isser, not fully like eating Isser, is because even though you swallowed it, which is considered eating it, even though it's a food item, we treat it as shaloi kederach achila because nobody eats pure gelatin. It's just like the Gemara's example of eating oil. Okay, nobody drinks vegetable oil. Okay, no sane person just sits and drinks a cup of corn oil. You don't do that.
Also, nobody would eat a gel cap.
Right, so you don't eat it, and therefore
not even the ingredient, but the final product.
You would, because if you took the gel cap and you put it into milk and you made yogurt out of it, it would be perfectly fit into there. There's nothing different about the hard gel cap than what they put into the yogurt. It's pure gel cap.
It isn't made into gel cap. It's not an achilah.
I don't think that's correct. I think it's just a matter of now it's a solid. If you get diluted again, it'd be perfectly right to make gel cap.
You mentioned before a raw potato.
Yeah.
So it's current state. It's not.
So that's the point that I'm making. It is an edible item, but I'm eating by eating it pure. I'm eating like a raw potato. I'm eating in a way that's like the chachila. The choice that I made, if I would go put it into my yogurt and it would thicken my yogurt, that would be kederach chachila. If I eat it straight, like the word chilul, the guy eats black pepper. Okay, black pepper is royal chilul, but if you know, sane people don't eat black pepper. That's not the normal way to eat it, and people don't eat whole, just chunks of gelatin. It's not a...
You're saying hard caps are worse than soft caps?
No, they're both as bad. I mean, the soft ones have gelatin and glycerin in them. I mean, they're not better. They're all edible.
Would
of course it would be. You'd have there'd be a little glycerin in the yogurt. It wouldn't hurt the yogurt. It would do this. The gelatin didn't stop from what it's doing. It's plain old. What do
they eat? Jello.
They don't eat gelatin. Jello is that it's sugar that bonded together. It's gelled by gelatin. The gelatin holds it together. It's not pure gelatin.
Jello in this, is that a sugar in this
dozen? Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, that's exactly pachad. But it's not all gelatin. It's everything else. It's held together by the gelatin from in the bones. Okay. So we treat gel caps also as being something that's like the chila, which will, as I mentioned before, that's mutter for a cholish embasakan. Okay? Just like that's what we categorize it, as I mentioned before, the cholish embasakan is allowed to eat the oivan on it's each like the chila. And a certain other job on it, that's what we put it on.
Again, it's worse than a pill.
It's better than... It's worse than a pill.
Because it's edible.
Because it's edible. So, for example, I mean, there isn't such a thing, but if it were to be... If a gel cap were to have a chametz issue, it doesn't. The gel caps don't have ingredients that could be chametz. Okay. But if it were to have a chametz issue, you'd say, no, you can't own it, fine. Because it's going to roil achila.
So it's equivalent to a liquid medicine?
No. A liquid medicine is completely edible. That's totally roil achila. We treat that as completely being royal. This is shlokidach achila. So something that's shlokidach achila is mutter for a cholishem basakana. But something that's royal achila is not mutter for a cholishem basakana. No, he can't eat it. What is he doing? He has no reason to eat it.
We're going to see a chart soon?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. This is the...
His face lit up.
Yeah, you'll see that. It's one of my fun charts. Yeah, you'll see this one. This is a different one. This chart is different than my usuals. Okay. Okay, I gotta move along. Okay. The next thing is, I think this is the next thing. Okay. Four types of ingredients. Okay. We've had a medicine list for many years. Me and Rabbi Aaron together. Had a medicine list for many years. The CRC medicine list is, I don't know, 5 years, 8 years. I don't know how long we have it, for a long time. Okay. And how does our medicine list work? How does that go? What happens is, basically is, David goes to the pharmacy and looks at packages. Okay. And he collects a lot of information about medicines. So the idea is we're preempting the consumer questions. Instead of a consumer calling up and we're saying, okay, tell me this and this and this, we go to the pharmacy, find out the information that we need, and then we make a decision and put it on our list. Okay? So a big part of what he collects a lot of information about it, but a big part of what he collects is the ingredients that are in that medicine. There are other parts that we need to know about, like what the form is and things like that, but he finds out what's in the medicine. Okay, so and then we categorize all those ingredients as into these four groups that I'm about to tell you. We categorize them as the four levels of ingredients. And we have a little more than 300 ingredients that are used in these over-the-counter medicines. And obviously they keep repeating each of themselves. So we have a little more than 300 ingredients. And the bulk of them, about 75% of those ingredients, are in the category that we call innocuous. Alright, for innocuous, okay? No shadow. Nothing could go wrong with them. We can't imagine anything wrong with those ingredients. Okay? Completely without questions to them. Okay? Those, we record them in one place, but we essentially ignore those ingredients. Okay? The next is ingredients that are, we call them trivial. Okay? This is a very small group. It's 4% of the ingredients. T for trivial means is, this ingredient, even if it would be trade, it's always going to be Balta Mishishim. It's not a Maimed, because at worst, it's a Melech HaBlumi Dam. Its questions are because of Blias that it has, and it's used in small amounts. It's always Bubble. So it can't say that it's nothing. It's not nothing, but we call it trivial. Okay? It's almost no child to it. Okay? The next group up is what we call the minor issues. Minor issues, 15% is about...
For major.
We don't have, no, see, we're smarter than that. We thought of that. Okay, minor, and that,
cheaper.
Minor, and that is a 15% of them, which is, at most, it's an issur d'rabbanan, or suffolk d'rabbanan. Okay, or the reason why it would not be bottle is because it's something mid-drabbanan, it's a maimed. Okay, in other words, the reason why it wouldn't be bottle is only because it's a maimed, but otherwise it would be bottle. Okay, and into this group of minor, into this group of minor, we stick in flavors and gel caps. Okay, they fit into this level. Okay, these are the things that are only going to be mutter. The things that are minor are only going to be mutter for chalosh and basakana. So minor, the trivials are almost mutter for everybody. The minors are mutter only for chalosh and basakana. And the last is the highest group is called serious. Okay, and those are. See, we didn't use it. And again, that's about 2%. Okay, it's very few ingredients, and those things where there's a potential issa d'oraisa, and the issa d'oraisa would not be bottled, like glycerin or fish oil and things like that. Okay?
And like 99% of liquids are
right. Glycerin. Yeah. When I say 2%, I mean this 2% of our long list of 300 ingredients. Glycerin comes up many, many times. It's in there in many cases, but it's only on the list.
So you set the Javar list,
right.
And you categorize them?
Yeah.
With other agencies?
I have sat down, we categorize them by ourselves, mm-hmm. But I've sat with Rabbi Heber, he's the other person who does medicine, and we've gone through all this, and we essentially agree with each other. You know, we don't call him every time we make a decision, but we've sat down and said to him, look at my list, and I look at your list, and do you agree with us on the way we categorize them?
So we don't share a database with
them? No, we've talked about it, but we don't share, but we don't day-to-day share each other. We talk to each other.
Differences are
trivial. Okay. Now, that's all for year-round. Okay, for Pesach, we don't categorize them like that. I mean, we a little bit. We don't really. For Pesach, the rules are very different.
Okay, and the four categories are based on our extensive database of Group 1's information?
It's based on which way I roll the dice. Whichever way the dice come out, when I roll them.
Can one of us be rolled in that? Or is it just your mom's
job?
You have to know
if you want. It's the same as making a decision on regular ingredients. It's the same kind. Category one would make it into innocuous. But then the trivials and the minors, that takes a little more to that to say, well, if it's not innocuous, well, where does it fit which of the other groups is fit to? And we categorize them based on that. You know? But by this point, usually when David makes a trip to the pharmacy, he comes back with three new ingredients. I'm saying, see, he's not getting a lot of ingredients. We have the ones that we keep seeing all the time. So he'll say, I bang into this new one or that new one. But essentially, he keeps seeing the same repeats again and again. That's just the way it works, okay? Okay, now for Pesach...
Can we let consumers know, just have access to this, and they can pick up any bottle?
You know, we thought about that. We thought about making, it's called Web 2.0. Web 2.0 means to say, let people do their own, let them fill in the information. And we would say is, you type in the ingredients, and then the computer would tell you back. I don't know if I can handle this. The computer would tell you back what the status is of that thing. It may happen. It takes some computer skills for us to do that, you know, to make that available to people. Because there are other factors also. It's not just an ingredient question. There are other parts of it also.
That's the QR code.
What did you say?
Like
there are other factors. There are four questions. You know, there are four questions. It can be done. Yes, it can be done. We thought about it. It essentially takes money. Okay, it's just a matter of somebody.
Everyone's out there.
Somebody.
Just another lawsuit.
That's all it is. It can be done. Yes, it can be done. If you'll see what's coming soon, you'll see how computerized it can be. Okay. So for Pesach, the first thing is like this. In our system, we have something called NYFYR. Okay, and that means the Pesach recommendation is not recommended for year round. Which is to say, if this thing is not kosher year-round, we don't give a Pesach recommendation for it. Okay? We don't give a Pesach recommendation because you're not allowed to use it every day, so we can't use it. And Pesach doesn't make you able to use it. So we don't even look at them, so to speak. We ignore them.
Separate
dog food. What do you say? Separate dog food. Yeah, well, okay. But I'm talking about the medicines. Okay, but then in Pesach, there's three groups, there's three types of ingredients. There are ones that are, again, innocuous. They have no shayos for Pesach. There are ones that are obviously chametz, like wheat. Dextrin, we're going to see it later, I think. Wheat dextrin, it's obviously no good for Pesach. And then there's a huge group of things which are suffix. Okay? That's its own schmooze, which is to say they're made from sugars, they're made from glucose, and the glucose could come from starch. In the United States, they're probably not chametz, but they could be. And therefore, there's a huge group of things that end up falling into the suffix category. Like, for example, flavors all of a sudden become more serious. If flavors... The things that you make, the flavor contributing components, lots of them are made from, basically made from glucose. You know, in fancier names. They're fermented into all kinds of other things. So all of a sudden for Pesach, the shilas are more serious, but on the other hand, the shilas are less serious because in the United States, the glucose is probably not chametz. Okay, so
the kidneys or just not?
What did you say?
Looking into kidneys as well.
No, for medicines, we don't care about the kidney issue, right? Because we're figuring if you take medicine, you're allowed to take kidneys. But It probably is kitniyus, but it's potentially common. So we list those things as sofer comments, which is that you have to ask a rabbi before you decide to go teach. Okay, I gotta keep on moving. I'm way behind schedule. Okay, and the last thing on this list is substitutions. Okay, for example, I went to the doctor and he told me I should take a certain medicine, a certain type of fish oil. He wanted me to take. Very highly regarded. It doesn't have hashgacha. But essentially, I took the same thing that was with hashgacha, okay, and it did exactly what it was supposed to do. Okay, it was essentially the same thing with hashgacha. Okay, when people have choices of cough medicines, okay, so people have a really hard time finding kosher cough medicines, liquid cough medicines. If we could find you one that's kosher or that doesn't have or any shilas or as many shilas, then that's a substitution. Don't take this one if you can take that one. Okay, or if you can take a pill instead of a liquid. If you have a choice of a pill or a liquid, the liquid has the shiloh and the pill is considered edible, then you're okay. And as I mentioned before, about flavored and not flavored.
Sometimes it just costs more.
Right. So part of the substitution is it available and is it reasonably available? You know, if I say the only one that's available is in Connecticut, then maybe it be because it's available.
If you're selling it at the pharmacy and it's in a gel cap, and it's in a gel cap.
Mm-hmm. But if you pick something in the pharmacy and there's gel cap Tylenol and there's pill Tylenol right next to each other.
Calls in a prescription.
Yeah, so I've asked the pharmacist, could you give it to me instead of a liquid for one of my kids? Can I have it in a pill? And my child's old enough to take a 12 pills. The doctor wrote it as liquid because that's just what they write for when a kid looks in was 10 years old. And I say, can I have it in a pill? They say, yeah, I'll give you a pill, you know. So unless I just switch, why should I take this instead of this? You know, why I can take the thing that's safer, you know? Okay. Okay.
Hey.
Okay, now that treats us for fun. That's not the real tree. That's just for fun. That's just a picture of a decision tree. Okay.
Go the other way.
The tree. The tree.
That's branches out. Should go up.
Okay. You can't get so many questions on my picture. Okay. On the next picture, you can get a question. Okay. So what's going to be is I'm going to go through with you the decision tree that most sane people don't think this way, it's going to just to bring out the point that we said, and it's closer to Lamaisa to what we do. Okay. And that's like this. Okay. The first thing I'm going to show you is the two most common questions. Almost everything that we deal with that's a medicinal question, it fits into one of two categories. The first is something that's inedible. Okay, we don't know what the ingredients are, but the way it's consumed is inedible. You're allowed to use it. That means a pill. Okay, those tend to be pills. Okay, so the bulk of things, if you think about it, what most people medicinal type items that they take are pills. That's the bulk. Most adults are taking. It's mainly adults, and the adults are taking pills. Okay, those are fine. Okay, and the other side is the ingredients are innocuous. Okay, Miralax is our favorite. Okay, the ingredients are innocuous. There's nothing wrong with the ingredient, and therefore it's okay. Those two groups of the innocuous ingredients. Or the inedible items, those things, wait a second, those two address the vast majority of questions that people have about medicine. Yes.
Are we concerned they left things out of the ingredient list? Like with food, they don't have the list
kind of thing? No, we assume that the tongue, so to speak, telling the truth. It happens to be, the inside of a prescription medicine, or most medicine, that all that paperwork that's in there is filed with the government. It's like pretty serious. Okay? We take it as being what it is. Okay, those are just a bunch of examples. As I told you, there's about 75% of the ingredients fall into the category of innocuous. Okay, so that gives you just a feeling for what you're going to be banging into. Okay. Okay, those are the common questions. Okay, now let's get into the more complicated things. Okay, what happens if the ingredients are just trivial? Okay, they're not innocuous. Okay, the ingredients are trivial. Okay, I told you those are things that are always going to be buffed. Okay, so if there's no substitute available, then you could take it. If there's a substitute, then we say, why are you taking something even that's buffle when you have a choice of something that has nothing like that? Now, when I say substitute is available, so our recommendation might be it's not recommended because we know there's a substitute. But if a person comes and says, I have this special reason why doctor, I have to take this one, well then basically then for you it's not a substitute. So the list, in this way, the list will be more, I use the word machmir, than something that needs to be. It says, we're making a judgment. We're saying, this has a substitute. There's no reason to let the person even take the trivial item. But if the person says, I have a special reason, then no problem. Then okay. Then essentially, you don't have a substitute. Okay? Next. Oh, here's some example of trivials. Okay. Okay.
Steroids.
Because they're always bought.
The 90s and zeros?
Yeah.
SMT.
Hopefully. Okay. Okay. Well, there's a minor issue. Okay? Instead of a trivial issue, there's a minor issue. So if there's a substitute, again, you can't take it. If there's no substitute, then this is an example. The minor issues are the things that have isur, that are isur d'rabbanan, or they're not bottled because of a d'rabbanan principle. So then, if the person is taking it as a cholosh or ebes hakana, that person is taking it, he has no substitute, right? He didn't have a substitute, so then he, that's exactly the person who's allowed to take food, shloi kedar hachil, like in a gel cap, or that it has a flavor in it, or some other thing, other drabonic principle, it's not bottled because it's a maimed, it's some kind of drabonic principle, that's exactly the things that the cholosh ebes hakana is allowed to take, and we would say that it's recommended. Now, in this thing, we have two ways of looking at this. Sometimes we look at a medicinal item and we say, we know who takes this item. Okay? The only people who take this item are these. This is who it's made for. And then we'll say recommended because we know that the people who are taking it are essentially always Chodesh and Bezakhan. That's the kind of person who takes this item. Sometimes it's not clear. Okay, let's say an example of that is cough drops. It's intended for people, some of the people who take it are Chodesh and Bezakhan. Some people who take it are not chalishem b'sakana. They just like the taste of it. Okay, they just eat it because they like it. They just have a little sniffle and they're taking it. So for those things, we don't want to say recommended because it's not really meant for everybody. And we don't want to say not recommended. So we put in something that says something like recommended for chalishem. I don't remember the exact wording that we use. Something like that, which is you have to be a certain level of sickness before we want you to take this thing. Okay. Okay. Next, one of them has a serious issue. Okay. Oh, sorry. Okay. Serious issue. Okay. If there's a substitute available, obviously you can't take it, like with the other thing. Okay, if there's a substitute available, you can't take it. Okay, what if there's no substitute? Oops. Sorry. Okay, what if there's no substitute? But it's inedible? Okay? Okay, there's no substitute? We're over here. There's no substitute? But you take it in an inedible form, like in a pill?
If there is a substitute, wasn't this whole chart assuming that it was edible? Shouldn't the first question be, is the form edible?
There's different ways to approach this. There's different ways to approach it. I said, when I started the chart, I said to you, for most people, the answer to that is it's inedible, it's a pill, and you're off the hook. That's how most things, okay? Now we're tracking back to the day-to-day with that.
And if there is a substitute, that's inedible?
If there's a substitute, then you can't take it. If there's
even if it's inedible?
If it is...
No, it's
medical,
it's
fine,
right?
Let's think about that. There's a substitute? Oh, I have to think about that.
You know, think about it? It's inedible.
But there's a substitute. Okay, that's a good question. You're probably right. You think if there's a substitute and it's inedible, then it's with it. Okay, that's fair. Okay.
So this is all working on the axis of just the ingredients, not the steps of how
it's... No, but here you have to think about how to redo that. Okay, I started from like this. If the thing is inedible, if that was our first thing that we started with, that's fine. If it's innocuous, it's fine. And that's the bulk of things. Here we're getting to more complicated. So because we caught us something over here. Here we had a substitute. I told you inedible, the original line was like this. Over here, to inedible to being okay. Okay, now we found over here that we banged into a not okay. Okay. Fine. Okay, what happens if it's edible? Okay, we have a thing that has serious ingredients in it. Okay, and, you know, so it has glycerin, it has animal fat in it. And it's eaten in an edible form. Okay, so again, remember how we categorize liquid medicines as considered edible. Okay, we started off with that's not so clear, but we categorize them as being edible. So then we say they're not even mutter v'chosh and v'sakana, because if we consider it to be edible and it's not even shloki darach achila, then the person is eating it regular. It's only for mutter for person v'chosh and v'sakana. The gel cap is shloki darach achila. The person eats it shalakei darach achila. If he does it shalakei darach achila, that's how we put the gap. Then that's mutter v'chosh and v'sakana. Okay, so it has a serious ingredient in it. Okay, it has gelatin and glycerin in it. Okay, it has a serious ingredient in it, but it's consumed shalakei darach achila. That's how we categorize the gel caps as automatically shalakei darach achila. Then it's mutter v'chosh and v'sakana.
So like glycerin is kosher.
No, that's not correct. Glycerin, it's about 50-50. And there's arguments this way and that way as to would the medicine people definitely use kosher glycerin or definitely use trace glycerin.
Is it fair to say the following? Pills is fine for anyone.
I'm going to give you rules in a second.
And it says, regarding like a child has a high fever,
So, child has an order medicholos in basakana. So, if a child has a fever, there's a true remorse that he may be considered a yesh basakana. That's his own question, if you want to categorize him as a yesh basakana.
We don't do that.
We don't do it because we're tensing, can you give someone Tylenol in general? If we can't say if he has a high fever. We can't. When you get to a question like that, then you may have to ask your rabbi. We can't solve every problem with it. No, but I'm saying, a child in general is an automatic chalosh in basakana. But if we get to a child like this, we want to take the Tylenol that has the serious ingredient in it, now we're not able to say that that's okay if we didn't know that it was kosher. Okay.
So in a way, our list is kind of detrimental because it doesn't tell people that in the case of sakana, you can be makel.
It says at the beginning of the list. Not everybody sees the beginning. Not everybody sees the beginning because some people just look at a specific listing. Right. But you look at the beginning, it says is if you have a question, you need to ask your rabbi. Or don't not take your medicine until you ask your rabbi.
Right. So that's like if you have medicine. If you have a kid who has 101 fever.
So
people are going to see those and say, oh, I really shouldn't be giving my kid liquid Tylenol. What do I do now? I'm going to call this your frantic. So it doesn't give them the instruction that if there's a sakana.
So then, it's true. We could theoretically put that heading onto every single listing. I mean, there's a whole heading that says all kinds of things like that. So we don't put that on. That's true. So we're sort of leaving them hanging, hoping that they know that. Or
there was a sakana issue.
Nobody knows that. Well, people take Lewis at face value, and it's like, I can't use it. They don't think like
that. So now, there's something that maybe is worth it to stick in for those liquids, which is, for the food reducer, I forgot to mention, which was, Rabbi Heinemann tells people, and this value says, they have a cheshbon for how much glycerin would be in one of these trade items. We went over the cheshbon. It's roughly, let's agree with their cheshbon. And they then figured out, if you put in this much, if you dilute the medicine into this much water, the glycerin will now be bought to the Okay, they have a ratio of how you're supposed to do it. I forgot the number. A ratio of how you're supposed to do it. If you do that ratio, then it's going to be bottled. And don't worry about the bitulus chatilo. Just put that on the side for now. Don't worry about that now. So when I say, if you need to use that, one of those liquid medicines, you should use, this is the way you should do it. Okay, you can take it.
That's only for level B. That's only for the Yeshua Sakana,
no? No, it'll be for Yeshua
Sakana.
Yeshua Sakana, you can just take it straight.
No, I'm saying when kids get, that's what I'm saying, like, when you start putting just like a rubber stamp, like, not recommended, so then, even when, well, a lot of times, the especially when you have, like, the children's medicines, so mostly liquids, so then, they are the sakana.
If a kid has a cold, then it's a sakana.
Maybe it's not taking for a cold.
Okay, so maybe we can identify specific ones that the person who taking it may be in a situation of yesh b'sakana. We could pick them up. Maybe the panel is an example.
If we put
up to everything, some of them it's silly. There's no chance of yesh b'sakana on cough medicine.
So we'll focus
on specific ones, and these ones, there's potential that could be really bad, and then we'll stick on a note that if it's really bad, call your rabbi, whatever, something to that effect. Okay. What was it with him? Okay. No. Chol means the chol and the sakana. Okay. We can.
It's kind of like, you call up and you say, I need something fixed. And say, the verdict seems, I have to call 911.
Okay, fine. Next. Okay, let's go on. Okay, let's do some examples, okay? The examples, is that much better?
You're going to come back to my chart?
It's better. Okay. I know the slides are coming. I think this is what you want. Okay, what we're going to first do is some rules and then some examples. Okay, and those are like this. Okay. I'm not that old yet. Okay. So the first idea is things that are in tablet form. Okay, pills. Those are mutter for year round and for Pesach. Okay,
we consider those.
We consider it to be inedible. We consider it to be inedible, and since we consider it to be inedible, then it's mutter.
Make a difference. It's coated on the outside, or.
There is such a thing. There are many pills are coated. There's nothing in the coating. There are some. There's almost a handful of ones, less than a handful of ones that the coating on the outside is flavored, not just sugar. It's flavored, and on those, you have to know that they're okay. Right? It's a very, very, it's like taking a piece of wood.
Not
really what feels on them. It's like taking a a piece of wooden painting flavor on the outside of it, okay? Anyhow, okay, next. Gel caps, the surf gels. Okay, so for year-round, we let them for a chol, we call it a chol l'shem b'sakan, as we call it. The Pesach-wise, there's no added Pesach concerns, okay? Glycerin and gelatin, big kidneys. I'm not worried about that. But chametz-wise, it's really hard to imagine them being chametz, so they don't change for Pesach. But we tend to not have them on our Pesach list because year-round, we didn't permit them, so we tend to not have them on our Pesach list for that reason. Sort of like get stuck in there. Okay, next is chewables. Okay, for year-round, chewable pills, okay, for year-round, they tend to be okay. I think tend to be okay is, when we look at the ingredients, they tend to be the kind, they don't tend to have serious ingredients in them, they tend to be the trivials and the minors in there, to the point that when you look at what it's for, it tends to be permitted for that person who's taking it. Okay, we tell people, we look at the ingredients, we don't just say, yes, you could use it, but if you were in the middle of the night and you didn't know what you were doing, the chewables tend to be okay. Okay, if you weren't sure, they tend to be okay. We look at the ingredients, but they tend to be okay. Okay, and for Pesach, the things that are in the chewables are things that are suffer comets, things that are sugars and glucoses and what?
Maltodextrin,
let's say, things like that. It has all these kind of things in them that are year-round, they're not an issue, but for Pesach, they tend to be suffer comets. Okay, liquids. Okay, the liquids tend to not be good for year-round. They're really common to have glycerin in them. Nice amount, nice percentages. They don't have extra Pesach concerns. Glycerin, you can't say it's impossible to make it from chametz, but essentially you can't make it from chametz. So they don't have Pesach concerns. The liquids tend to not have Pesach concerns. They tend to not be more than suffer chametz. I should have changed that. I should say more than suffer chametz. But for year-round, they tend to not be good. Okay, so now we have certain liquids that are okay, but they tend to not be good. And antibiotics, we allow for two reasons. First of all, they tend to not have glycerin in them. That's just the way that they are. They tend to not have glycerin in them. But also, is that we don't even ask for the ingredients. We allow them because, as a rule, the antibiotics are being given for things that are suffix sakana. I mean, if you don't treat this illness, it would lead to a sakana. So we take the attitude of shoot first, ask questions later. You know, just, you know, take the medicine and don't start thinking, should I take it or should I not take it? So antibiotics, we tell people they
shouldn't. We have possession of ear infections.
The infection? Oh, no, don't get, well, okay, whatever. Next, powders. Things that are in powder form, they tend to be okay for year-round, and they tend to be soft and common to Pesach.
And that's not important to liquid, to water.
Uh-huh, yeah. You take them, mix them with some kind of a liquid, and you drink it. So we consider them to be royal achila, and they tend to be okay year-round, they tend to be okay, but not for Pesach. And the last is, why for Pesach? The fapeta could be some chametz because of starches and things like that that are in there. All kinds of other things that are maybe chametz and probably kidneys. And the last is inhalers, which we don't have on our list. We sort of don't know where to put them. They tend to not have sensitive ingredients. For Pesach, they tend to, yes, have alcohol in them, ethanol in them, but almost everybody who's taking an inhaler really needs to take it. And especially when it's only suffer chametz, we just tell them they should take it. What? That's correct. That's part of it.
It's not true for vitamins.
Yes, I'm sorry, I forgot to say it. For vitamins, actually, we could have extra lines for vitamins. Yes, we don't treat vitamins the same as this. We don't, vitamins, we don't treat them as tablets. We treat them as if, so to speak, as if they're edible. We treat them as oxygen.
What if a doctor tells you to take a vitamin?
So we split vitamins into two parts. Two parts. If a person is taking a vitamin for their general health and well-being, they're taking it because, hey, everyone could use vitamin D if you live in Chicago, then we tell them, no, it has to have hashgach. If it's taking it for a deficiency, what I'm saying is if you're taking not 1,000 milligrams of vitamin D, if you're taking 50,000 milligrams, that's what you take when you have a deficiency, then that's not a food replacement. It's not like saying, oh my gosh, you could eat, 600 bananas. You know what I mean? It's like, at that point.
What if the doctor tells you to take 100 milligrams?
If a doctor tells you just take a general thing, then we tell you, no, for that, you could have eaten food. Unless he could have also told you, instead of taking a lot of potassium, you could eat a lot of bananas. So then we say, no, then you have to have a hashgach. Then it's in the food category. Once you switch to the point that it's not a, there's no possibility, you can't say eat 400 pieces of meat every day. And when you're that iron deficient, you can't eat meat. It's not, at this point, you've crossed over to being a medicine, and then we tell them it's okay. Okay, I'm almost done. Okay, now I'm going to go through a different type. These are the general rules, okay? General, the way how everything sort of works out. And I'm going to go through like this. I'm going to go through a few laxatives, just to show you some lemaisa of how this plays out. For whatever reason, laxatives have lots to do with issues with them. A lot of questions come about them. Okay, the first thing we're going to do is bena fiber. Okay, bena fiber comes, we have listed, as I remember, four types of bena fiber. Okay, three of them are plain. Okay, three of them are just bent fiber. They're just wheat starch, wheat dextrin. I'm talking only for year-round. For year-round, they're fine, and wheat prep, there's nothing with them. Okay, the last one is kiwi strawberry stick pack. Okay, now if you look at the ingredients for this one, we have a list here of the ingredients. What the problem here, the ingredient that would have stopped us is the flavor. Okay, that's what would have told us, you shouldn't be taking this thing. The rest of the stuff that's in there are not serious enough that we would stop for a person who needs dental fiber. We would say, if not for the flavor, and you just take it for the laxative shaboy, we would tell you could do that. So the flavor shaboy, we say, is, well, why should you take the flavored one if you could take the not flavored one? So we treat that as if there's a substitute. We say, you have a substitute. There are three other kinds of dental fiber that have the same medicinal value, but they don't have a flavor. Now, if you come to me and you say to me, yeah, but my child who needs this is 7 years old, and they're not going to take plain dental fiber mixed into their apple juice. They definitely need the flavor. Now we don't look at you as having a substitute. So we write on our list, not recommended. When a person calls up, they call the rabbi and say, rabbi, but I can't take this because this reason, if the rabbi asks us why we did it, or if he's smart enough, or he asks one of us why we did it, then we would say, for that person, we don't consider you to have a substitute. Essentially, you don't have a substitute, and then you could take it. Okay. Another example. Citrus cell, another laxative. Okay, there are three kinds. We have citrus cells. The ones that are in pill form are fine, because pills are pills. Okay, we consider those to be edible. Okay.
What kind of pills is with
gelatin? No, not gel caps. The caplet, just the amount like a, I don't know what you call it, a pill. Okay. Here, again, in the flavored versions, again, what's stopping us here is the flavor. So what here we say is, now here the caplet is not the alternative. Here the substitute is not, you take the caplet, that's not such a substitute for one for another. But there's lots of laxatives. We've got a long list of laxatives that people can take. So he says, why taking this one, not the other one? Now when the person comes back and says, but I've been on Citrucel for the past 6 years, and that's what I need to take. Or my doctor has some special reason why I need to take this laxative instead of another one. Then we say, then you don't have a substitute. Okay, then, so this is really, it would be more, if not there was a substitute, but it's a substitute that's holding us up. If you have an explanation for why I don't have a substitute, then you're okay. Okay, and I think this is my last one, is Dulcolax. Okay, another laxative. This is four versions that we have of it, and a bunch of them are in soft gels. Okay, if you look at the ingredients of the soft gel, okay, this is the pink soft gel, okay, this soft gel, look at all the great stuff that it's got in there.
It's called the glycerin.
Right, so it's got all kinds of, as I would say, al-kutazachar. I mean, it's like really, it's telling us, no, this is, now, stop for a second. Okay, I'm not going to say what I'm about to say. Okay, so we won't recommend that one, okay, but...
The bad stuff, gelatin and glycerin?
Yeah, but, they also make a suppository. Now, obviously, suppositories is not a choice of many people. I'm not saying that here as from the sense of that this is a substitute. I'm saying is, suppositories are both because we consider them to be inedible. I'm not sure if that's correct. But it's not a shayla achila anyhow. It's not a shayla achila. So, no, if it was Pesach, would be a question. But it's not Pesach shayla. But it's not a shayla achila. So that's another example where we're telling the person. So, again, I'm not listening.
Why isn't
it probably is. Because it's just glycerin. It's just glycerin. With other stuff in it.
It's a suppository.
That's common to it. What's in the suppository? What do you think is in the suppository? I'm asking you, what do you think is in the suppository? So, if you looked at it, you would find out it's just a big ball of glycerin. That's all it is. There's nothing. We have to look at it. Look at the ingredients. We look at the ingredients. Yeah, I don't think this Pesach Shalosem, because the ingredients-wise, there's no Pesach Shalosem. But were there to be, then we have to look at the ingredients. But as far as year-round, we have to Shalosem Achila, the person not eating it. Okay, I'm not saying this as in a Instead of taking the swift to take the suppository. I'm not saying it from that side. I'm saying it from the side of just, in the dual collapses, this one we recommend, because it's only a suppository. And that's it, guys. Okay.
Thanks, guys.